You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we want to talk with Christy Johnson this morning. Her book is called Love Junkies, and after she experienced a disastrous first marriage that had so many elements to it that will let you tell her story, God has taken all of these things in her past and really redeemed them and shown her some wonderful ways to minister to others on just giving us some help in breaking the toxic relationship cycle. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
Christy, do you think it's safe to say that this cycle starts early, maybe like even as far as, I don't know, junior high, high school, when girls are dating, boys are dating?
Oh, probably even earlier than that,
really?
Ted.
Wow.
Yeah, because our culture is getting all of their romantic cues from Hollywood, and young girls are growing up thinking that romance happens in an instant. And you know, a lot of girls are growing up without a father in the home, so they don't see a godly relationship modeled. So they get all these false beliefs that start at a very early age about that a romance or a relationship is going to fill the hole in their soul.
So tell us a little bit about your story. Did it start early for you? And then tell us again about, you know, just the toxic part of your first marriage and how that all looked.
Sure. Well, I grew up with a very emotionally distant father, and so I never really, I mean, he loved me, but he didn't know how to express it. And so I grew up feeling like I didn't fit in. I grew up feeling rejected and like I was less than. So I sought affection and affirmation, approval from other people. And then when I got old enough to date, I swear I watched The Love Boat every Friday night, and that's where I got everything I learned about love and romance. I learned on The Love Boat. And so as soon as I was old enough to date, I just knew that a relationship was going to make me feel better. And it never did, because I think what happens is that, you know, psychologists say that we gravitate towards people within a 10-point spread of our own IQ, that we're more naturally comfortable around people that share the same intellect. And if we could measure our soul health, we also do the same thing. So if we're not healthy in our soul, if we're not grounded in Christ and we don't know who we are in Christ, then we're going to gravitate towards other unhealthy relationships. And that's exactly what I did. I set up this pattern of toxic relationships, and then I got married. And I thought a marriage was going to take care of all that, and it didn't.
Well, your husband had, it sounds like, a lot of baggage that he brought into that marriage, too. And tell us about that, because it involved addiction, and then it led to so many other things, too, and tragedy in your life, too, as a couple.
Right. He had an issue with drugs and pornography, and he was allergic to work. So we had all these financial problems, and really what happened is, yeah, he brought baggage into the relationship, but so did I. Mm-hmm. But yet all I could see was his, you know. I thought if he would just change, then I could be happy. So all this anger started piling up inside of me. And, I mean, I was a Christian, and I knew I was supposed to forgive. But who teaches you how to do that? I mean, really, the only way you can learn how to forgive is to suffer an offense. Mm-hmm. And I think God was taking me on a crash course, because I had so many offenses. And all this anger built up inside of me. And for a while, I could contain it. But then one day, bam, it was like Mount St. Christy blew up. And I exploded. And the way I dealt with my anger was to anesthetize it, and so I reached out for more relationships and started having some affairs in my marriage, because for a moment it was this temporary relief and freedom from my anger. You know, some people turn to drugs and alcohol, and men were my drug of choice. Mm-hmm. For a while it took care of the pain, but I didn't realize how temporary it was, and it wasn't until my affairs were discovered in marriage counseling. I was going to marriage counseling because my husband needed help. My husband and I'll be okay. You know, he's the one with the problems. And during an individual counseling session one day, I had confessed to my pastor, and he gave me some great advice. He said, "Christy, you need to confess." And I was like, "Really? I had never considered that." I mean, that was the furthest thing from my mind, and I had no intention. But one day my husband had started having some suspicions and confronted me, and I couldn't deny it. And that was honestly the worst day of my life, because I had nowhere else to turn, because everything else that I was that I had used to contain this pain, I could no longer use. But actually, that worst day of my life was the best day, because that's when I finally looked up and saw Christ reaching his hand out to me saying, "Christy, if you'll look to me, I can help you through this." And at that point of desperation, when I finally got to the end of myself, because I think that sometimes the end of ourselves is a long ways away, and some people reach that point a lot sooner than others. For me, I traveled the long road. But when we finally get to the end of ourselves, that's when God can begin his restoration process. And that's what happened in my life. I spent the next 8 years in my marriage recovering from what I call relationship addiction, where the Lord began showing me how to establish my identity in him, teaching me how to forgive through continued offenses. But in the midst of losing our home, losing our vehicles, filing a victim's protective order, more drug addiction, more pornography, the Lord was teaching me how to lean on him in times of adversity. He was teaching me that he is faithful even when my circumstances are a mess, and how to have joy in the midst of great difficulties. And I believe all of that was training ground for the day after our divorce, after 10 years of marriage, when I lost our youngest son in a car wreck. My ex-husband was driving under the influence of several narcotics and hit another car. But that trust and walking with the Lord so closely during those times of adversity taught me that he's faithful even in the darkest day of our life. Yeah. And he also taught me that if I didn't forgive, even though I had every right to be angry, no one would have blamed me. My ex-husband was at fault for driving under the influence, but if I didn't forgive, you know, recovery is a long journey, but relapse is instant. Mm-hmm. That bitterness would have taken me right back to that captivity that I lived in, that prison of bitterness for so many years. And it was at that point when I lost Jake. The next morning I woke up in the hospital with my other son, and it was as if the Lord said, "Christy, Jake's destiny lives on in you." And today, it was like he filled me with so much joy that I knew the only way I could keep it was to give it away. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, I never heard God say, "I want you to write a book, I want you to minister to women." Mm-hmm. But that was the only way I knew how to communicate what the Lord had done in my life.
Well, you've been at the lowest points of the pit, so to speak, in life, and here you are to the other side of brokenness, and God bringing you there and finding beauty in it. We'll continue talking with you, Christy. We got to get in a quick break here, and then when we do come back, I also want to talk about some of the steps you offer in the book Love Junkies for breaking the toxic relationship cycle. We'll get into that next with our guest, Christy Johnson, here on Faith Radio Morning. Stay tuned.
This is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK, and we're talking with Christy Johnson. She's author of the book Love Junkies, and she offers 7 steps for breaking the toxic relationship cycle. Christy, tell us a little bit about how to diagnose what you call our soul health, because this is critical, isn't it, so that we can kind of get out of that cycle that we find ourselves in. How do we diagnose that, though?
Well, PK, I have a quiz on my website called Are You a Love Junkie? And there's also some self-assessment tools on there for each of the 7 steps for women so that they can take these short quizzes online that kind of help them pinpoint where their areas of weakness are. Mm-hmm. And so it guides them through it. And then they can decide, you know, these are areas I think I want to work on. These are, you know, and they can set their own goals. So those are available on my website at christyjohnson.org. Mm-hmm. And if people can spell Christ, they can spell my name. It's Christ with a Y, ChristyJohnson.org. And it's called a Soul Assessment and Are You a Love Junkie? These are some quizzes.
And you quote the founder of eHarmony, Neil Clark Warren, and he just has some very important cautions about us kind of chasing after our emotions. You know, it seems like so many relationships, especially in our culture today, we want it all about us. Well, this person didn't make me feel loved anymore. I didn't feel this. I didn't feel that. But he warns against that. And he said that those romantic feelings and the things that we thought were trustworthy emotions offer almost nothing of substance when it comes time to choose that potential marriage partner, and that they often get in the way. And this is part of what you're talking about throughout the book, too. Talk about that emotion part of it and how that can be so dangerous and misleading.
Well, you know, Proverbs talks about guarding our heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And in relationships, if we put a guard on our heart first and first establish a spiritual oneness and decide what, you know, set back and analyze, watch and observe their character. I mean, if you're going to get a job, they're going to check your background. They're going to call your references. If you apply for a mortgage, they're going to check your credit. If you apply to work at a nonprofit, they're going to do a background check on you. And yet, when it comes to romance, we give our heart away without really observing someone's character. And the only way to see someone's character is to see how they respond to adversity.
Mm-hmm.
Do they, you know, you that anyone can act fine when everything's going their way. So we have to guard our heart first. And then, but what happens is we typically get emotionally involved before we've had a chance to assess their character. And then when we see red flags, we're like, we minimize them, or we deny them, or it's too late because we're already in love. And so we just have to put a guard on our heart and surround ourselves with people that can maybe check our blind spots, because we all have blind spots when it comes to romance, you know, things that we're oblivious to because we just don't see them. We've got to have people surrounding us to kind of help us.
Yeah. Can you maybe say a word, too, Christy, to that person that has this immense fear of being alone? I think that's one of the reasons they feel like they have to be with somebody and they find themselves in these bad relationships. What do you say?
That when we finally come to a place where our relationship with Christ is established, we can be alone but not lonely. There's such a difference. Like, I can remember when I was young, I had this switch in my apartment that as soon as I walked in the door, one light switch would turn on the TV or the stereo and all the lights in the house. And because I always wanted sound around me, so I never would feel alone. And last year I was driving down the road and I was like realizing I don't even have the radio on. I don't listen to the radio sometimes in the car. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Go to the podcast. It's okay.
And it's because, and the Lord told me, Christy, it's because I'm always with you. You're not alone anymore. You can be in a relationship, and still be alone. So when we finally establish that relationship and realize that God is always with us, we don't need a man or a relationship to fill that need. Because even if you have a great relationship, your spouse is sometimes not going to be there for you. So we have to, you know, really find that place where we recognize God's presence is always there.
And as we're asking him to lead us and guide us too, you talk about even maybe stretching your imagination a little bit to this person that maybe God has set for you. And we'll talk a little bit about that. What should we be expecting from God as maybe we're praying for a healthy relationship in our future?
Well, I tell people after my 10-year marriage to my first husband, a few years later I met John, who I'm married to now. I hate to call him my second husband because that makes it sound like I'm getting another one. But when I met John, he was just okay. I mean, I had my list as a single person. I wanted someone older, well-established, and sophisticated. And God brought me someone younger, goofy, and still in college after he had been in the military for 10 years. I'm not a cougar, I promise. But he was going back to school, and I'm like, God, did you not hear? Did you not hear my list? But, you know, I had prayed every day, God grant me the desire of my heart, which was to be married. And the Lord showed me one day, this is the man I've picked out for you, Christy. If you will align your vision with my vision for your life, You're gonna walk down the destiny that I have planned for you. Not to say that everything's going to be perfect. We've had stumbling blocks and issues in our marriage that we've had to deal with. But, Christy, if you pick the man that you've chosen, you're going to mess this up again because your picker is busted. But when we align our vision with God's vision for our life, and he speaks in that still, small voice, you know, you can't really tell somebody I heard from God, but you just know, because his spirit testifies with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just knew God had picked John out for me. And that's the imagination is one of the steps in my book that I talk about. Because when I was a kid, my dad used to always say, oh, Christine, you have a great imagination. And so I grew up thinking it was a derogatory thing to have imagination. But if we don't have vision, the Bible says without vision, people perish. So having a healthy imagination is so vital to aligning our vision with God's for our life and our relationships.
Well, it's a very helpful book, I think, and it will minister to a lot of people. Again, it's called Love Junkies, 7 Steps for Breaking the Toxic Relationship Cycle by our guest, Christy Johnson. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning, Christy.
Thank you so much for having me, Ted and PK. Appreciate it.